Welcome back to the PE Podcast. Please like, follow and subscribe on our social media channels. And I'm delighted today to bring you somebody who has far greater producing and presenting skills than myself. They have worked for Premier League productions in London. They currently work for Wolverhampton Wanderers. And we're going to talk about secondary school, college, university, the route into presenting, what it takes to be a presenter and a producer, the mindset to overcome challenges, and how she dealt with anxiety during school, college and university. Welcome back to the PE Podcast. Today we have with us a guest with a wealth of experience in sports journalism. I'm going to pass over to her now. She can explain who she is, the role she does at the moment, and potentially talk through her experiences of secondary school.
Hi, yes, thank you so much for having me today. It feels really strange being on the other side of things because I'm normally a presenter-producer at Wolverhampton Wanderers Football Club. It's a relatively new role to me. I only started it a couple of months ago, but I've been presenting now for a couple of years. I was previously at Premier League Productions in London, where you'll all be familiar is the home of VAR now at Stockley Park. I've been doing presenting for a while, and it's amazing to be able to be here now at Wolves in a full-time position. It's something I've been working towards now since I was at university, so to finally be in a full-time presenter position is just so exciting and something that I've wanted for a really, really long time. But when I was your age and I was in secondary school, I had absolutely no idea what I wanted to do. And I think if I'd spoken to myself now, knowing that I'm in a career in sports journalism, I don't think I would have believed you if that's what I was going to end up doing. So it's been quite the journey. But if you're not sure what you want to be doing or you're not sure where your career is going to take you, don't worry, because there's plenty of opportunities on the horizon and lots you can do to prepare yourself for a future career.
So working in two roles there, you've mentioned, obviously you've got to be very successful to get to that point. If we strip it right back and go back to secondary school, what subjects did you choose and how did you get on in secondary school?
So, I actually went to an all-girls school, which was an interesting experience on its own anyway, but it was like a really like heavily academic school, so they really push like maths and science and English and things like that, and that just wasn't me. Like, I was very creative, I wanted to do media and things, and those sorts of subjects weren't actually even offered at my school. So I sort of went along with it. Like, I think at GCSE I took like a whole range of subjects from drama to IT, French, the sort of generic ones. I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. And then at A levels, I then continued with drama, business and maths, I think. But my thinking behind those, I mean, particularly maths does not fit in with my current role at all anymore. But it's definitely like, it was a case of I wanted to do subjects that I really enjoyed. And I think that would be my main piece of advice to anybody at school now who's not sure what to do at sixth form or at college or later in life, is just do something that you enjoy. Whether it ends up being something that, you know, forms a career later in life, I don't think that matters too much at this point. I think you will perform best in the subjects that you enjoy the most, and you'll get the best grades in the things you like doing. And yeah, weirdly enough, I did actually quite enjoy maths, which is why I chose it, which I'm sure a lot of people would choose. But and of course, yeah, I did sport as well at GCSE. I loved PE. I was very, 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 very enthusiastic participant in PE, but just not very good. I was like a consistent B team player. I was in the B team for netball. I was reserves for athletics. I had all the enthusiasm and then absolutely none of the skills. So I tried my best, but didn't ever do particularly well in PE. But then, yeah, that love of sport had then taken me through. So where I really enjoyed, you know, being in the centre of attention in drama and doing things that I enjoyed, then when I went to university, I decided that I wanted to do television, and I really wanted to get involved with, you know, like where I'd missed out on those media subjects at school. I was like, I really want to learn more about TV and film and that sort of thing. And again, not really sure what I wanted to do with that at the end of it. You know, I knew I wanted a creative career. I wanted to get into TV, but I didn't sort of have my sights set on, right, yes, I want to be a presenter or I want to be a sports journalist. I didn't have that at the time. I just sort of was following that path of doing things I really enjoyed and motivated me to be able to want to work. So I think that's like the most important thing. Like, there's a lot of time at school where you can, you know, if you don't feel engaged in the lessons, it's really hard to learn. And education can be fun. Like, education is so important. And like, now I love learning new things, and I learn new stuff all the time in my job. And I think it's just really important to be able to enjoy what you're learning. And so, yeah, so I went on and did television. And then, yeah, when I was studying that, they needed people to sort of present in the TV shows that we were putting on. And so I sort of did that with my sort of drama skills and the background from school, and absolutely loved being in front of the camera, loved being the center of attention. And so, yeah, I carried on doing that in my spare time. So I actually did it like outside of the course, whenever I was free, or whenever someone needed somebody to jump in front of camera for whatever reason, or there was something ongoing locally, then I would get involved. And yeah, from there realized that actually I really, really enjoy presenting and I would love to make it a career. And it's taken me until now to get to the point where it is my full-time job. When I was working at Premier League Productions in London, it was, again, something I was just doing on the side. I was in like a technical role, putting on the skills that I'd learned from my TV course. And then, yeah, whenever I had a moment, or whenever there was an opportunity, or, you know, always keeping my ear out for things happening in the industry, then I would volunteer myself. And it involved a lot of like work for free and lots of experiences. But I think another sort of valuable lesson I learned is just saying yes to everything. Like, particularly when you're young, there are so many opportunities to just do something. And unfortunately, like, particularly when I'm early in my career, you know, a lot of those presenting things were like, can you do this for nothing and just do it for free, do it for experience? But I think that while you have the ability to do things like that, and, you know, not have to worry about an income and sort of like, you know, paying for a mortgage or whatever, like, it's beautiful being able to just like go and actually just try out all of these different things and see what you enjoy. And then, yeah, thankfully all of that experience meant that eventually I've managed to now get a full-time job where I get to just present and, yeah, get paid for it, which seems incredible. And I can't quite believe I'm here now.
That's incredible. And it's really interesting that three of the sort of themes you've spoke through there are very similar with our last couple of guests. So in our last episode, we spoke to Danielle Kahn, who is a Team GB track cyclist, competed and won world champion at the Commonwealth Games. And she was saying that she wishes when she was back at school, she wished she'd thrown herself at more things and said yes to a lot more opportunities, because even though she had to be dedicated to her cycling, she wished she'd gone to a netball tournament, she'd wished she'd gone to a swimming gala, she'd wished she'd done all of these things. And then another thing that sort of links in quite nicely to that is you saying about your enthusiasm for sport and enthusiasm for PM. We spoke to a guy called Mukesh. He's an academy analyst at Birmingham City. And he was saying what a lot of the things that separates those that go on to a career in professional football and those that potentially fall away is that maturity and that enthusiasm to show you're willing and to show you're willing to maybe stay behind after training, collect some equipment in, to maybe go and speak to the coach and just ask him how his day is. And although I've not had Sean Dyche on my podcast, I listened to a chat with him earlier, I think Jake Humphrey's podcast, and he was saying that he tries to instill, like, with the children within the academies, just saying hello, how are you, and these sorts of things, and that enthusiasm to talk to people, and you never know where that might take you. And that guy called Mukesh, he was talking about he ended up in sports analysis really, really randomly. He did the course at university, didn't enjoy it, went through into his third year, and then found out that the analysis program or the module offered an internship at Wolverhampton Wanderers. And then his eyes lit up and thought, I want to do that. So he just jumped at it, and then he went there and he was working 3 days a week, and then he knew that to sort of get a career in, that's what he needed to push himself further. So he'd be going in an extra 2 days, obviously unpaid, and pushing himself. And I think everything you've spoke through then covers a lot of the things we've spoken about already. And one of the things I want to sort of go back to is you saying about that enthusiasm for sport. Was football your main interest, or have you ended up in working in football despite being in school, potentially playing, you say, netball and athletics? Is that something you've gone into since college, or has that always been like a love of yours?
No, that's a very good point, actually. Like, I actually grew up in a family that wasn't very sporty at all. Like, my dad doesn't like football, and my parents just weren't really into sport at all. So the only sort of sport I had in my life was PE lessons, and was sport I did through school. And luckily, yeah, I had the opportunity to represent the school a couple of times in netball and, you know, like, athletics against other schools, again, always in reserve or because someone else couldn't make it, but I still went and I still did it. So yeah, that was the only sort of influence I had, really. And then I went to university, and until then football hadn't really massively been on my radar. I didn't ever sort of like hate football, or like I wasn't ever like against it. I just hadn't really had much exposure to it at all. And then, yeah, went to university and moved in with a house full of lads who were all massive, massive football fans. A couple of them particularly Tottenham Hotspur fans. And it then meant that I went from sort of like not really watching football very often at all, if ever, to watching every Premier League match every single weekend the entire time I was at university. And very quickly, I learned to absolutely love it. I got involved with fantasy football and sort of managed to sort of build up a lot of knowledge that way, watching football all the time through for sort of socializing. And then it meant that, yeah, I really, really got hooked on football. So I don't think my sights at that point were even set on sort of doing sports journalism as a career. I think I knew I wanted to do presenting and I wanted to sort of be involved in journalism, but I hadn't at that point sort of linked the two and thought that I might want to do that with sport. And then, yeah, when I was coming close to graduation, there was a role that came up, again, not a presenting role, but a technical role in television with Premier League Productions in London. And they basically broadcast all of the Premier League football internationally. So in the UK, the broadcast rights are owned by Sky, BT, and now Amazon as well. But they host all of the broadcast rights for every single country internationally. So if you ever gone on holiday and watched football, it's come through Premier League Productions. So it was an amazing, amazing opportunity. And again, I think actually similarly to what you just said there, I wasn't really sure what I was going to be doing when I graduated or sort of what my next step would be once I've sort of graduated with this degree. And then, yeah, I heard about this role at Premier League Productions and actually went there for like an open day, because they sort of have like a university scheme where they encourage university graduates to sort of come in and apply for their entry level positions. And I went there and I was like, this is amazing. It was just like walking into like a football wonderland. Like there was just like these massive like Premier League banners. And it was, and obviously it was up in London and I'd been at university in Portsmouth. And I was just like, this was amazing. Like being in the big city, working in football, working in television, combining all the things I really enjoy. I was like, this is amazing. And so, yeah, worked really, really hard to get myself an interview, secure the job. And then once I was in the job, just working really hard constantly, like hard work pays off. I think that's like, there's no sort of secret to doing well in your career. You know, sometimes it comes down to luck and opportunities coming up at the right time. But if you work really, really hard, you will be successful. And I've sort of seen that reflected in all of my friends from university that have all worked really, really hard and in their degrees and then further in life when they've started their careers. And they're all doing fantastically. We've all gone down slightly different routes from where we all started out. But it's amazing to see everybody now like really thriving and doing so well. And yeah, worked really, really hard in my technical role at PLP. And then, yeah, like once I'd got through my first year and a bit of sort of grinding it out in the technical role, because it wasn't like the most exciting of jobs. It was, I mean, obviously working in a football environment is amazing, but I was basically just like clipping up press conferences, clipping up footage that we had coming in, and sort of just like loads of just technical bits dealing with media. And then, yeah, after about a year and a bit, they did some screen tests, which they open up externally to people that are existing presenters and stuff in the area. But they also open up internally. So if there's anybody in the building that's like a budding journalist, budding presenter, then they can give it a shot. And yeah, I thought, oh, why not? Like, I'll just give it a go. And then, yeah, did a screen test for them. And they were like, oh, yeah, like we'll get you on for a couple of sort of presenting opportunities. And so I ended up doing some social media updates. And they all went out internationally, so I did loads of like presenting, but no one in my family and none of my friends ever saw any of it, because it all just went out in countries all across the world. But it was amazing to be able to have that opportunity to just go straight into, you know, being able to be presenting in a studio and talking about football. And it was incredible. And being able to sort of juggle that, because I had to do all of that outside of my working hours. So it is about sort of like putting in that extra effort of, I would do like a really long shift. Like, we also used to work 12-hour shifts, which was absolutely disgusting. I used to start at 7 in the morning and finish at 7 at night, and it was really long. But then on my days off, I would come in and do some presenting, or I would come in early, or I'd stay late, or try and do something on my lunch break. And I think the more you can do to provide yourself with these opportunities, the better placed you'll be for job opportunities in the future when they come up. And then, yeah, I've been doing all of this presenting, and then someone that I'd met through doing that presenting at PLP knew somebody at Wolves who was hiring for a presenter job full time. obviously like massive move, moving from London to the Midlands. All of my friends are down south, and as my family. And so, but I knew that this was the absolute perfect opportunity for me to do what I love full time. And so yeah, I went for it, and yeah, no regrets at all.
That's amazing. And I love how you've sort of emphasized the opportunity side of it, because I think that hard work does open opportunities. And I've only had two sort of sporting guests so far, and you're the third one, and they've all spoken about opportunities as well. Mukesh didn't like sports analyst modules at university, and he's ended up working in it because the right role became available. Daniela spoke to you yesterday, was a track sprint or short track speed skater. She got injured, took up cycling, ended up on the Olympic pathway for cycling. Yourself working really hard, and all of a sudden going from that sort of technical role into presenting because of that hard work, and that opportunity just came out of nowhere. And I think hopefully some of our students will become sort of reassured by the feeling that at the moment they don't know where they're going to be, and potentially 5-6 years time they won't know where they're going to be. But keep working hard, keep looking for openings and taking these opportunities, and as you say, saying yes to things, yeah, eventually open doors. And hopefully, yeah, even our students potentially could listen to this in sixth form, realize that although they're going on to a university course next year, that might open doors elsewhere. Friends of friends in university, that opens doors. And I think when you're in school, you're almost really closed off to it, and you don't realize the world around you. But as soon as you go into sixth form and you go into university, you realize, oh my God, there's so many chances for me to do loads of different things. And hopefully they'll take some reassurance in that. If we go back just a little bit, we spoke earlier about when you were at school and how you felt at school. And we spoke before, obviously, we've started recording this, about your sort of experiences in a classroom. Would you like to go into a bit of detail about that?
Yeah, so while I was at school, so I stayed on the same school to do my A-levels in sixth form. And yeah, when I was about sort of 16, 17 years old, I started really, really struggling with anxiety. It was quite bad. It meant that I found it really hard to sort of like stay in a classroom. I felt really anxious. I felt like I needed to sort of get out. I couldn't sort of sit in assemblies at school. I couldn't, doing exams was really difficult. Like sitting in an exam hall where I sort of knew I couldn't leave for an hour or whatever, I needed to do really well. I mean, when you're a teenager and when you're at school, you have so many pressures coming at you from so many directions. It's not easy being a teenager. And I can only imagine how hard it must be now, going through all of that on top of a sort of global pandemic as well. It must be a really stressful time for all students at the moment. And yeah, I really suffered with anxiety. I found it really difficult. And it feels like the end of the world. I felt like I was going to throw this forever. I was like, I'm never going to be able to do anything normally again. Like, I found it really hard. And then going into university, I sort of was starting to cope a little bit better, and I reached out and got help and support through my school. And then when I went to university again with a local service in Portsmouth, where I was at university, and managed to get CBT therapy, which is cognitive behavioural therapy, which really helps you to sort of work through the anxiety and help you sort of give you a toolkit to manage panic attacks and that kind of thing. And yeah, absolutely life-changing for me, like being able to have those things available. And now I live an anxiety-free life. I mean, obviously I still have bad days, but nowhere at all in comparison to how it was when I was in sixth form. And strangely, I remember at university, I'd sort of, at sixth form, it was quite common knowledge that I had quite bad anxiety, because I couldn't really hide it. Because unfortunately, you know, when I was sort of getting special help for exams, or when I had to sort of leave classrooms and stuff, it was quite public, I suppose, which I suppose maybe made it even more difficult. But when I went to university, it was something that I was almost a bit, I didn't want people to know. So I sort of tried to deal with it privately. And I remember sort of friends that I've made through university sort of telling them in hindsight about the anxiety that I was struggling with when I first went to university, and them just sort of being shocked, because I was this sort of confident, bubbly character who like really enjoyed being in front of camera and being the center of attention, which is quite bizarre. It's strange that those sorts of things that perhaps a lot of people would find stressful and would find quite difficult, anxious experiences, I actually found really easy, and I really enjoyed and was quite relaxed. And then really things you'd think would be really, really normal, like just sitting in a classroom and stuff, were the things that I was like struggling with the most. And it was a really hard, a really big challenge in my life to overcome that. But yeah, I think like if anyone's having any sort of level of stress, anxiety, any mental health issues at all at school, I think the most important thing to do is just reach out and get help. The more you can do to provide yourself with a toolkit to help manage these things. Like it does get better. And I think it feels like the end of the world at the time, but once you can see the bigger picture, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And like I say now, like I'm so happy that I can sort of live my life freely without this sort of like debilitating anxiety that I had when I was in sixth form. And I think the main thing there is just making sure that I reached out and got the support I needed. And now I'm presenting in front of a camera all the time, which might seem really scary, but it's fine.
I really hope our students are able to use that, and even if not for themselves, passing it on to a friend and showing them this, because I get students come up to me and say, well, how do you stand up in front of a classroom of 30 students and talk, which I find absolutely fine. But the thought of standing up in front of six of the teachers and talking scares the life out of me. And the thought of actually doing what you do and standing in front of a camera knowing this is going around the world would scare the life out of me. And I think we all find different things a little bit daunting, a little bit scary, which is natural. And you say yours was sitting in a classroom and knowing that I'm here for an hour and I can't leave and this sort of thing. And I think everyone needs to realize that their anxiety triggers from different areas of life. And sometimes it's logical, sometimes it's not logical, but it's just who you are. And I'm glad you've brought up that. Is it CBT?
Yeah, CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy.
Brilliant. Yeah. I hope that some of our students are able to use that and have a look at research into it themselves and begin to understand it, because I don't want these videos just to be, look how great I am, I've overcome it. But it's about those sort of strategies you've used. Hopefully they can sort of take a bit of information from that and have a little research themselves. So we're going to fast forward now. We've spoken about college and university. What do you do on a daily basis? So how do you prepare for your job? I think we spoke about it earlier that I look at commentators and presenters and I think they just naturally do it and it just comes to them, or they're just born to do that role. But obviously it takes a lot of preparation, a lot of investigation almost to find this information and how to plan it and how to present it. Could you go into a bit of detail on that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So at the moment, my role looks a little bit different than what it would if we weren't in the middle of a pandemic, so I'm sure everyone can relate to. So at the moment, match days are still going ahead. So I'm lucky enough to be able to go to matches as usual. So I present on our social media channels on match days in sort of warm up to the games, a bit of pre-match quiz, team news, that kind of thing. And then post-match, I will interview the players as well, get a bit of reaction from the game. And then during the week, I do lots of Zoom based interviews. So in normal circumstances they'd be face to face, but yeah, I'll interview players and also just get involved around the club. Like I do a lot of stuff working with the Wolves Foundation, working with the community. For example, a couple of weeks ago and again tomorrow, I've got a session with Premier League Kicks Girls Hub, which is girls 8 to 18 who are interested in football. And we host like a Q&A with different guests. So we've had like the Wolves women captain on, and we've got a former England player coming on in the next one as well. So getting involved with hosting lots of different stuff. But as you said, all of that requires a lot of prep. I think like a lot of people think that I can say, just turn up, no preparation, no research, and it's just all off my head. But a lot of work goes into all of the stuff I do. So the day before a match day, I will prep everything I need for my links to go on social media, because I want to make sure that everything I say is completely factually correct. Even if I sort of think I know, I remember what happened in that game. This person scored the goal. Like, I'll make sure I go back, rewatch the highlights from that match, write down loads of notes, just so that you're prepared. You don't ever want to be in a situation where, say, I was doing like a live or I was interviewing somebody and they brought something up and I couldn't react off the back of it because I didn't know what they were talking about, or I wasn't aware of that particular incident. Like, I don't ever want to be in a situation where I don't know everything I need to know. So always make sure I've done lots of research. And I come into play a lot of it as well with our post-match interviews with the players, because we never know who we're going to interview post-match. It's a case of whoever is available, whoever's willing, and then the club will allow one person to do a post-match interview, one or two people. And Sky, BT, the main broadcasters get the first pick of the players as well, because obviously they're paying rights holders, and then we'll get anybody. So that I can't really prepare for who I'm going to interview for, which is really interesting. So for example, if Pedro Neto scored a goal, I won't necessarily get to interview Pedro Neto. So I've got to sort of during the game, write out all my questions and think about what I want to ask the player without knowing which player it's going to be. So the more prep I can do in advance of that, of just sort of like researching, is there anybody that's like reaching a milestone soon, anyone that hasn't scored in a while, just making sure I'm on top of all of the knowledge I possibly can be to make sure I'm better prepared for those interviews. And then, yeah, when a player comes around the corner off the cuff, I've got some bits that I can ask them about the game, and yeah, hopefully it will give all the answers to people that are watching at home that they're after. So yeah, there's a lot of hard work that comes with it, and yeah, I've got a really busy week sort of preparing for different features and things that we're going to be producing. Even when it is over Zoom, there's still lots of work to be done to make sure I ask the right questions. So yeah, it's not an easy job. I feel very lucky to be able to do something that I love doing. Like the research for it isn't difficult. Like being able to just watch football highlights, it's not bad prep to have to do. So it's a great job, but it is a hard job at times as well, and there's a lot of work that goes into it.
Brilliant. And I hope that some of our students can see some of those skills that you've mentioned there as skills that they use in school. And I know sometimes we set tasks and they think, oh, this is tedious, it's problem solving, it's adapting, it's quick fire sort of research or going to gather information offline. But these are skills that you're using in everyday life that our students are using too. And hopefully they can see that when they get into a job in 7-8 years time, they're going to use these skills again. Because I think I'll set a task in GCSEP and I'll see some faces drop and they think, what's the point? But these are little things that we're doing just to sort of exercise those skills and then apply them to their own subject. If we were going to go into a bit more detail, do you have to overcome any hurdles and challenges? So obviously you've spoken about, you don't know who you're going to interview, and I can't imagine how difficult that is, because me trying to prepare for this, I was really nervous, let alone having sort of 90 minutes just to plan something for somebody that you don't know who's turning up. yeah. What sort of hurdles and challenges do you overcome, or what sort of mindset do you have to overcome them? Because I think some of our students, when they're faced with a hurdle or a challenge, we speak about types of mindset in school, and there's a closed and there's a sort of a growth mindset. And a lot of the time is to go defensive and think, I can't do it, I'm never going to do it. And some of our students returning to school may feel behind on work and they get that feeling of being overwhelmed and they don't think they can overcome that. And they think, well, I'm not going to bother because I'll never do it. You're obviously in a situation where that's very instant with reporting. And how do you overcome that? What sort of mindset, how do you feel in yourself to know that you can deliver that sort of brilliant interview or those sorts of questions that tell out your viewers or your listeners what they want to hear?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd love to say that I'm like 100% confident in everything I do all the time, but that's not the case. You know, you always have moments where you go, oh God, like what if this ends up being a really rubbish interview, or like, what if I haven't prepped enough and I'm not going to be able to do this, or oh, I've got so many interviews to do this week, I've got so much prep I need to do, like I'm never going to get through it. And you do have those moments where you just, you worry that, you know, you're not good enough, you're not doing a good enough job. And I think that's something that will never go away, but it's more how you react off the back of those thoughts. I think it's really important to have humility. I think there will be times where we all make mistakes, where we all could have done things better. And I always say to everybody that I work with that I really want negative feedback. Now that sounds silly, but I really want them to tell me how I can improve, even if it's something really, really small. I don't want people to feel like they've got to sort of like fill me with praise, because it's lovely being told, oh, you're doing an amazing job, like you're so good at what you do, but that won't help me to continue to grow and to get better. And I think the sort of acknowledging that you are not the finished product, I'm not the best presenter I could be right now, and I won't be for many, many, many years to come, and there will always be room for improvement. I think it's really important to be sort of open to that, open to constructive feedback, and understanding that there's lots more to learn. And I think, yeah, when you make a mistake, like if I do have a bad interview or something, you know, not dwelling on it for days and days and being like, oh, that's it, I'm awful, I should never be a presenter, why do I have this job, I'm not very good at it, and like, all those sorts of negative things, actually just having a bit of humility, just being like, okay, that wasn't very good, let's think about what we can do better next time, let's speak to this person and they'll be able to give me some advice on what didn't work, what I can do to prepare next time. And I've learned so much since I joined this job. I mean, I only joined the job at the end of November last year. And if I was to sort of look at my first post-match interview that I did and compare it to the one I did now, like I spoke to Aston Villa last weekend, like the difference in my interviewing skills already has changed so much. And I think that's just because I'm so open to constructive feedback. And I think, yeah, I think it's just something not to shy away from. I think You know, we all love being told that everything we're doing is amazing and getting lots of praise. And, you know, that's also important in its own right. You know, it wouldn't be very good if I went to work every day and everyone was like, Gemma, you're rubbish, by the way, you need to change this, you need to change this, you need to change this. There's a balance. But I think, yeah, it's just really important to be open to growth and change and, yeah, and just knowing there's other things that you need to work on. And just don't be too hard on yourself. Just like, just accept that nobody's perfect. That there are things to improve on, but that doesn't mean you're bad or worse than anybody else, or that it's like a personal, you know, issue. There's, you know, everyone goes through this in their careers. And I'm really pleased that you brought up the high performance podcast earlier, the Jake Humphries one. That's fantastic. I actually managed to speak to Damien Hughes recently through my job at Wolves, and he's the other person on that podcast, and talking about that winning mentality that all of these sports professionals have. You know, it's really important to just be resilient and to be able to bounce back. No one has a perfect career where everything just goes smoothly and is just constantly improving and going up. Like, there's going to be bumps in the road. You're always going to have challenges that you're going to face. Things will be hard, but having the mentality of knowing that you can do it, knowing that you can succeed and grow, is the answer. And just continuously working hard and not being too hard on yourself, like not feeling the lows too much, you know, like not sort of beating yourself up when something goes wrong, but also not sort of like getting in over your head and being like, I'm the best presenter in the whole world, everything I do is amazing. You know, like finding that balance and working constructively. And yeah, I think that's the most important thing.
I love that. And something's just come to me, and I'm not claiming to be some kind of genius with coming up with quotes, but I thought that from a few people I've heard speak, now yourself included, saying that, you know, you've got to bounce back from maybe negatives, or not necessarily failure, but maybe not achieving what you want to achieve and getting that negative feedback. But it's almost like a trampoline. You've got to bounce harder to get higher. Because I think that if you hardly bounce at all, you don't really get any higher. But if you fall harder, but then you learn off that, you can bounce higher up. And about the high performance podcast, I think he spoke to David Coulthard when Formula One first went to Channel 4, and that they went to a post, whatever it is, like a briefing after the first live television event. And it was full of praise. And it was like, this was amazing, this was amazing. And David Coulthard said, don't waste my time. I don't want to hear this, because the only way we're going to get better is if we focus on the negatives. And I know students in school would love the positives, and it's natural. Everyone loves being sort of their ego boosted. But when we do talk about things to do better, it's not because we're trying to pick on you or make you feel bad. It's because we know sort of what they're capable of and how they need to improve. And it's that closed and open mindset again, that if you get negative feedback, you either turn your back up at it and think, well, that teacher hates me, and I did this well, I did that well. And yeah, we know you did it well, but to get better, you need to improve on your weaknesses.
Absolutely.
So to finish with, do you have any advice you'd like to give to anybody sort of going for a career in sport, not necessarily journalism, or just to succeed in what they do in presenting or sports journalism? What could you pass on?
I think it's the most important thing is that you always enjoy what you do, whether you're in school and you want to choose, you're not sure what subjects to choose, whether you're going to university, whether you're looking at a career. I think the most important thing is doing what you enjoy, working in something that you love. You know, when you eventually do get into your career later in life, like, you're going to spend, if you're in a sort of Monday to Friday normal 9-to-5 job, you're going to be spending like 5/7 of your life. Most of your life is going to be at work. So my main piece of advice for everybody would just do something that you love. I think, you know, people have different motivators when they get into their career. And, you know, some people are motivated by money and wanting to ensure they're sort of financially stable. But I think, you know, money comes with doing something that you really enjoy. Money will come with success. And there's lots of different positives to be able to do something that you love doing, like getting up in the morning every day, going to work and just really enjoying what you do is fantastic. And I think, yeah, that comes as well with school. Like, you'll get more out of school if you enjoy it, if you choose subjects that you look forward to, if you go to university and you're doing something that you really enjoy studying and enjoy learning and getting to practice. Like, I think that's the most important thing, and that's the best way to be able to learn and progress, is if you're loving every minute of it. So I think that'd be my main advice, is just making sure that you're having fun And looking after yourself, looking after your mental health, sort of, you know, making sure that you're happy in what you're doing. And just, yeah, I think, yeah, constantly challenging yourself and sort of working to progress, but in something that you enjoy doing. That's just my main takeaway, I think, is that, yeah, you really should love what you do, because you'll be doing it for the rest of your career, so hopefully so.
Yeah, that's something we try and pass on when we talk about you. So in our school we do 3-year key stage four, so in year 8 they go to year 9, that's when they choose their options, and we always say that you pick something you enjoy, you pick something maybe you want to do, and you pick something that you're good at, and you pick those three options, and you make sure that you always have something you enjoy. Because it'd be the worst thing in the world if you're going to school every day and you've chosen 3 subjects that potentially you want to do in the future, but
yeah,
you find 3 of them really boring, you're not going to succeed. And I think unless you enjoy it, you won't succeed.
Yeah, and that's a good point actually, because when I was choosing my my A-levels, I forgot what they were for a second, I remember going to like a session with somebody, a teacher at school, who was helping you sort of talk through your choices. And when I said I wanted to potentially go on and do media or TV or something, I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do, they were like, oh, well, you should definitely do English. Like, English is a great subject to do, because you have to do loads of writing. You know, no matter what you do in media, like, there'll be journalism, you know, you've got to be able to write scripts. And they were sort of really trying to push me to do English, but at school I hated English. It was like one of my least favourite subjects. I really didn't enjoy it. And so I went for maths instead, because, yeah, weird, and I like maths. But I decided that, you know, even though drama, business and maths is a really strange combination of subjects, I just knew that if it was something that I enjoyed, I'd be able to get good grades in it, because I would come in, I would want to do it, I would want to do well. And and then, yeah, same applies to university. When you're choosing what course you want to do, you know, a lot of people were sort of pushing me to do a more theory-based media course. They wanted me to just sort of, like, you know, read about films and that kind of thing. And I wanted to do like a really practical hands-on course where I could pick up cameras and I could, yeah, sit in front of a camera and do some presenting. And it meant I didn't go to like one of the top universities in the country, which I think a lot of people were sort of pressing me towards. But I'm so happy with my choices. I'm so pleased that, you know, I didn't do English. Not that anyone should do English. If you enjoy English, you should do English. But I just didn't want to not do something, you know, just because it was a subject that I should do. You know, I didn't want to, you know, sort of follow that path. I think the most important thing is that you enjoy coming to school. If you don't enjoy coming to school, you won't learn, you won't pay attention, you won't, you know, want to succeed in it. So I think, yeah, the most important thing is just having fun and enjoying it all.
I think that's brilliant advice to finish on. And I just want to say thank you for giving up your time on behalf of the school I work at, Alderbrook. And just to pass on that advice to our students in terms of you overcoming anxiety and being able to deal with it and going into a role that I think all of our students will look at and think, I can't do that. I could never do that. I could never stand up in front of a camera and present. So I just want to say thanks for coming on and doing that.
No, thank you so much. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me. And yeah, good luck to everybody in their exams and the rest of their careers.
I really hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you want to access more, follow at the PE Podcast on social media. We spoke about a broader range of topics today, and I'm sure you'd like to join me in thanking Gemma again for giving up her time to film this podcast during such a busy period of the football season.